The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks and the Israel Report. How are you, Rolene?
It's that time of the day again.
Oh, really?
I cast you live from the heat that is Israel. I'm good, thanks, and you, Gary?
We are good, and we are looking forward to winter. Rolene, the Abu Akleh controversy continues. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to PA President Abbas. What was actually discussed there?
Well, the Secretary of State had a call with the Palestinian Authority President last night, and amongst the many things discussed, including trying to get U.S.-Palestinian relations back on track, and the Palestinian Authority President didn't waste any time accusing Israel of escalation and incitement, and it's language that we have heard from the past administration carried over into this, and you know, it just begs the question, are they ever going to move off that topic? Are they ever going to move towards looking for tangible solutions? Especially in light of what we discussed yesterday, the world, the Arab world, certainly opening up more and more. But also in the discussion was the issue of the death of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. I think everybody's familiar by now with the fact that she was killed in an exchange of fire between IDF security forces and armed Palestinian gunmen. And to this day, we still don't know who is responsible for it, but Secretary of State Blinken said to Abbas, the need to conclude their investigation. To this date, the Palestinians refuse to cooperate with an Israeli investigation. They refuse to allow Americans to cooperate into an investigation. And that is quite interesting because last week, just after that ghastly CNN report that also outrightly blamed Israel, the Palestinians said that they had concluded their investigation and had found that the Israelis had intentionally killed Abu Akleh. Now, Blinken also told Abbas that he has to hand over the bullet, the fatal bullet that is believed to be the major missing piece of evidence in Israel's investigation. In fact, we can't conclude our investigations from our side without sending it for ballistics testing. So from Israel's perspective, we are still continuing with that investigation despite, you know, some of the media saying that it won't be through the military police. It is still ongoing. It's through the operational arm of the IDF. We still need that bullet for ballistics testing. And as Aviv Kochavi, our Ramatkala, our IDF chief of staff, said, it could be either side, but we don't have a definitive answer until we examine that bullet.
The UN has named a program for Abu Akleh. What is this about? What is the program?
Well, I find this also quite extraordinary. So an announcement was made by UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric, who said that Abu Akleh, who was a Palestinian American, had a distinguished career in journalism for a quarter of a century and was a trailblazer for Arab women and a role model for journalists in the Middle East and around the world. And they have now has named a program for Palestinian journalists and broadcasters for Shireen Abu Akleh. But what I find actually quite extraordinary is in a letter obtained by the Associated Press, Guterres, Antonio Guterres, he's the Secretary General of the UN, said he is appalled by her death, and then he has called for an independent and transparent investigation into the incident to ensure that those responsible are held accountable. But just 2 days ago, a French journalist was killed in Ukraine, and nobody knows his name. I'm not saying that Abu Akleh's death is any less important. I think any journalist who understands the risk undertaken to go into a conflict zone knows the levity of the risk that they are taking. But I think the hypocrisy in not giving the same regards to other journalists who have been killed in conflict zones is utterly staggering. And as somebody pointed out to me earlier, they don't know of a journalistic program being named for Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street journalist, American Jewish, who was very famously kidnapped by Al-Qaeda operatives in Pakistan and beheaded after having to say, "My name is Daniel Pearl. I am a Jew. My father is Jewish. My mother is Jewish." So I am just absolutely staggered at the hypocrisy of the United Nations.
Absolutely. Israel turns its focus to Africa, and yesterday Foreign Minister Lapid gave quite an important speech signaling Israel's focus on Africa. And what is Israel's bilateral sort of relations with African countries?
Well, our bilateral relations are very strong. In fact, we have relations with all but 9 out of the 54 African states. So yesterday, our foreign minister addressing the 2022 Africa-Israel conference, which is done and held in Paris with the Israeli embassy there in conjunction with the AJC, which is the American Jewish Committee, addressed the forum. And he said, you know, for too long, outside political pressure has kept us at arm's length, but today Israel is back in Africa. He said that is not a slogan, it's a diplomatic, economic, and social reality. Now, over the last couple of years, we have seen an increase in the amount of cooperation with African countries. In fact, it was just earlier today he met with his counterpart from Togo, the Togolese foreign minister, to discuss trade, to discuss cooperation. And he went on to say, in recent years, the same spirit of progress made in the Middle East since the Abraham Accords has opened up more opportunities and strengthened our ties with countries across the continent. And he's speaking about the African continent, and he went on to speak about regaining our observer status at the African Union. Now, many of you will be familiar, South Africa, along with Algeria, seem to be quite fixated on getting Israel's observer status revoked. However, we believe here that that's not going to happen. The majority of African countries are recognizing just how big the benefits are to have ties with Israel. An observer status really means that the Israeli delegation or representative literally sits in the room, but has no voting power or has no ability to put forward a resolution. But it does mean something quite substantial diplomatically. And he went on to say, he said, in the face of global challenges, countries who cooperate will thrive, while countries who isolate will fall behind. And Israel and Africa will not only thrive, we will flourish.
So is this hence why there's so much focus on Africa at the moment?
I think so. I think a lot of the focus is on new opportunities, new markets. We have similar challenges with regards to security, with regards to climate, the fight against terrorism. We also recognize that Africa is facing many challenges agriculturally and with food security. And also, we can help bring high-tech solutions in a number of different industries. And, you know, that is the way of the future. We've seen the dividends. We spoke of the dividends of these kind of relations and deals taking place between Israel and our Abrahamic brothers and sisters. And now we don't see why that cannot happen in Africa. And many of you with familiar with the history of Israel and Africa will know that Theodor Herzl, when he conceived of the Jewish state, spoke about this. This was something that Golda Meir believed so strongly in, the ties between Israel and Africa. And now this current administration and the previous one, we have to give former Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, he's due with us, all have recognized the power of the African continent and just how beneficial ties between African countries and Israel could be.
And today we remember the Farot, a program that started on the 1st of June 1941. So what actually is the Farot?
This is very, very important that we the Farhud. This was a pogrom that started on the 1st of June 1941 and took place over a couple of days. Many of you will be familiar with the history of Mizrahi Jews in Arab countries. Iraqis painted and singled out Jewish homes, and for 2 days they went killing, looting, and raping members of the Jewish community. And at the end of the pogrom, 180 Iraqi Jews had been murdered and thousands more injured. And by the end of the decade, the majority of Iraqi Jews had left Iraq and had gone to other countries. But by that time, the state of Israel had been established and many of them fled for safety to Israel.
So, Ronnie, we don't have too much time, but very briefly, why don't we speak about the expulsions of Jews from Arab lands?
We need to speak more about the expulsion of Jews from Arab lands. You know, around this time of the year, we hear about the Nakba, you know, Arabs lamenting the creation of the state of Israel. But we can't forget that at that time, 850,000 Jews were expelled from countries like Iraq, like Yemen, like Algeria, Libya, other Arab and North African countries under extremely, extremely horrific circumstances. And we cannot forget that part of our history. It cannot remain the story seldom told.
Absolutely. And Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Have a good evening.
Have a good one. We'll speak again tomorrow.